Whoever or whatever is born of God, that is the new birth, okay? Whoever is born of God overcomes the world. Can you believe that? That's all it takes. That is the only qualification for overcoming the world that we live in.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Friday and welcome. On Love Never Fails today, Pastor Bill continues his series, Real Life, from the Epistle of 1 John, with the conclusion to the message, Do Not Love the World. Let's listen in.
Do you know that no Christian suddenly becomes worldly? It doesn't work that way. You're born from above and you want to leave everything behind. Amen? Boy, you knew what trouble you were in, and boy, Jesus became so real to you. You were filled with the Spirit of God, all those things. So Christians here, they don't suddenly become worldly. What happens is it's a process. It's a very slow process. It's a gradual process. And the things of the world slowly start creeping back into the new creation of Christ, okay? We're born from above. And slowly, ever so slowly, over a period of time, we start becoming friends with the world. Well, can I tell you, when you start becoming friends with anything in the world, sooner or later, you'll start loving the world. Why? Because of the old nature. Amen? The old man that lives in you. James put it this way in James 4:4. He says, Do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility or war, enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Man. So for anyone who is a friend of the world, God says, well, listen, you're my enemy. And if it's a Christian, you're out of fellowship with God. You're walking in darkness. Do you understand? Okay. So to be a friend of the world is to be a worldly Christian and start kind of living like the world again, embracing the world's values again. And it means that, well, you just love the world. God says, no, don't do that. Now listen to me. The world, the things of this world, do not love the things of this world. The things of this world have a plan for every Christian. And here it is. The things of the world wants to replace your love for God with things. Amen? With the things of the world. What did Jesus tell us in Luke 12:15? Man's life does not consist of the abundance of the things of which he possesses. But the world tells you differently. What about, we know that no Christian suddenly becomes worldly, but no church suddenly becomes worldly either. Foy Valentine put it this way. What a name. We just had Valentine's Day. He said, there's not a minute to waste in getting the world out of the church and the church into the world. Amen? Isn't that a true word? You know, are we ambassadors for Christ? Are we bringing the lost to church? That's very important to do that, amen? Or if you can't win them out there, if you can't bring them here, we'll get them, amen? Yes. So the local church here, listen, we don't have a choice. We live in the world, amen? But we don't have to let the world live in us. Now, let's be honest this morning, all of us. Let's ask ourselves a question. How much of the world did each of us bring into this sanctuary this morning? Ooh, that's a tough one. Come on. No, listen. The last thing, the very last thing that a Christian should ever, ever want is a worldly church. You know what a worldly church does? They water down the Word of God. They exalt the pastor. Oh, my God. Oh, that's so sad. No. Listen, we don't need any worldly methods in the church to win the lost. We don't need any of that. You know, all that we need is a Bible-centered, Christ-exalting, Spirit-filled church that loves the Lord. Amen? That is all that you need. Now listen, no Christian can love the things of this world. I'm just going, or whatever, and I'm in the world doing this, but I'm not doing one thing for the Lord. No Christian can love the things of the world and say at the same time that they love God. It's impossible. It's impossible to love both. It's amazing. Let me give you the scripture. Jesus told us in Matthew 6:24, no one, no matter who you are, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one, love the other, else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot, say that word, cannot. You cannot serve God and mammon, the things of this world, whether it's prosperity or whatever. Why can't you do that? Well, one master says walk by sight. The other master commands us, our Lord, to walk by faith. One tells us that you know, to love light. The other says, well, you're going to love darkness. Oh, listen, no. You can't serve God and mammon. Go through the Bible. Look at Judas Iscariot. Was he a lover of money? Did he sell out our Lord? Oh, he sold God for 30 pieces of silver. Demas, what is it? 2 Timothy 4:10. Paul in prison writing, he says, everyone has forsaken me. He says, Demas, having loved this present world, has departed to Thessalonica. In other words, he deserted Paul. He traveled with Paul. He labored with Paul. And yet, I got to go back. I love this world, man. Now, what do you think about Lot's wife? Woo! I mean, Lot's wife, she loved the world so much, even after being delivered from the most wicked city on earth, did she turn back? Was she commanded not to turn back? Did she turn to a pillar of salt? Yes, she did. Oh, man. You know what? If you'll study the Word of God very carefully, you know what you're going to find? God has no chains. I'm going to say something about that in a minute. But the world has many chains. And that's what the world wants to do, is chain you. Drag you here, drag you there. It wants to imprison you. If you study out the word chains in the New Testament, Paul would say, I am chained to Christ. Praise God. Amen. Now, that's I'll buy that one. But there's some chains in heaven. One of them is called the darkness of chains. That's reserved for false teachers and for those wicked spirits. And then the other chains, well, that one is for the devil. Amen. Remember in the bottomless pit? Yes. Look at verse 16. It says, for how much? What a word is that? Everything. Everything. Not some things, not a few things. For all that is in the world, meaning all that is under and in the system of Antichrist, this world system against God, that opposes God, that hates God, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, hey, it's not of the Father, but it is of the world. So it didn't originate with God at all. It's completely alien to his will. So all that is in the world, everything, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Those are the three areas that this world is literally ruled by. And that's it. Did you know the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, pride? Did you know that's all that this world can offer you? Isn't that amazing? I mean, that's it. They're powerless to give us anything better. The lust of the flesh, what does that mean? Lust meaning the appetites, the cravings of the flesh. Now, does that mean this skin that you see? No. Now, when we say flesh, what are we talking about? We're talking about the fallen nature, the Adamic nature that we're still carrying around. Amen? That old man, that old slave who loves the things of the world, the old slave who's still in the Adam's family. My flesh is not redeemed. Amen? My spirit, your spirit, has been redeemed. So the appetites of the flesh, that fallen nature which is corrupted by sin. Do a study in God's Word. Did you know that everything God says about the flesh is negative? Isn't that amazing? Romans, was it 7:18 or 19 right there? It says there's no good thing that dwelleth in the flesh. Jesus said in John 6:63, the flesh profits nothing. Philippians 3:3, have no confidence in the flesh. Romans 14, what is it, 13? Make no provision for the flesh, the lust of the eyes. It's never satisfied. I was looking at a Ford truck, brand new. Man, it was a Laramie. And the tailgate comes down, you see that in the movie, and the tailgate comes, you can work right there. They got even a measuring thing. You know what I mean? I'm going, pastors need that. And so And so then you pull it, and there's a step, the step that comes down. Well, when you're 40 like me, you need that step. But they did something more. You punch a little button, and an arm comes out. It tilts upright. You grab the arm. You walk right into the bed of the truck. I lusted. But the lust of the eyes are never satisfied. There's going to be another truck someday comes out. It's going to be better. Does that make sense? And that's what we're talking about. Listen, we live in a time, a horrible time. The internet, loved one, oh, the internet, it is the altar of sexual idolatry. You need to run from anything. Stuff pops up all the time. It pops up with me. Let's be like Job. Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes. I'm not going to look on anything that's wicked. Boy, you want to run from that. Why? Well, your eyes are always hungry. Did you ever notice that? They're just hungry eyes. They see something and they go, ooh, I like it. You're not hungry here. You're hungry here. That's what happens. Listen, did Eve, when Eve saw that the fruit of the tree was good to eat, did she take of it? Did she give to her husband? Well, how did she get it? She saw it. David, when he was supposed to be out to war in the spring of the year fighting the battles, what was he doing? He was up on the roof having a cool drink and looked down and guess who was taking a bath? He saw her. Did he get in trouble? You know he got in trouble. How about Lot? When Lot and Abraham, when they separated because the herds were so large, Lot made a decision to depart from Abraham, and he looked at the well-watered plain, and it says he cast his eyes to Sodom. Well, then after he cast his eyes to Sodom, what did he do? He pitched his tent in Sodom, and after he pitched his tent in Sodom, he was now in his family living in Sodom, the most wicked city upon the earth. Why? Well, he was becoming friends with that society, with that world. You know the story. God sent angels. He was going to destroy everything. Did he take Lot out? Did he take Lot and his wife? You know, she turned back. We already know what happened to her. And so they had to be rescued from that. Lot didn't want to go. As a matter of fact, did he lose everything? He lost his wealth. He lost his family, except for his two daughters. He lost everything for one reason, because of hungry eyes, the lust of the eyes. The lust of the eyes will make you go out and buy something. You want it, and you say, well, I can pay for it, and you struggle. You understand? Now, look at the next one. The pride of life, or literally the vain glory of life. The one translation says, the empty show, the life of empty show. And the word life there is bios, okay? Referring to God who sustains our life and meets every one of our needs. So the pride of life, the human pride, pride of life is human pride apart from God. We trust in ourselves. We trust in what we have. Look at my bank account. Look at my home. Look at my achievements. Look who I am, you know, yada, 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 okay? And that's what that's talking about. Look what I've accomplished in my life. But we haven't accomplished anything, amen? Jesus told us about, since he uses the word bios there, about our needs. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, he says, therefore, I say unto you, do not worry about what you're going to put on, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. For all these things the Gentiles seek after. The Gentiles mean people that don't know Christ, that are not born again. He says, but what are we to do? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, everything we need in this life, will be added unto us. Amen? Amen. Now, look at the last verse here this morning. It says in verse 17, it says, and the world is passing away, and the lust of it. So that word, that tense, is a continuous past tense, all right, when it says the world is passing away. It literally means that this present world that we're in right this minute is passing away continuously. It's in the process right now and is preparing itself to pass completely out of existence. Even the lust that's in this world, the lust of the eyes, pride of life, and so forth, it's going to pass away as well. It's interesting, there's only one thing going to last. Look at it. And there's a contrast now. It says, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Now, we all know that scripture so well. Long after the Antichrist is gone, long after this world system is gone, boy, only one person has assurance on this planet right now if you believe God's word. Only one, and that's us. The readers then and us today. See, listen, we have the complete assurance of victory. Amen? We know the world's going to pass away. Amen? Here, let me read it to you. It says in 2 Peter 3, it says in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it, all the beautiful artwork, everything that's in this world. You know, the French president on the Mona Lisa, did you hear what they're doing? When I saw the Mona Lisa in the 60s, it was in a private room all by itself with two guards. Now, the Mona Lisa is with other paintings in a separate little place, but now they've decided to build an entirely separate building for the Mona Lisa to preserve it, to make sure it doesn't completely destroy, you know, because it's so old. Well, you know what? It's going to burn. God, there's something in me that makes that sad, isn't it? But God says it's not worth a penny. Amen? What we are going to see doesn't even compare. He says here, the elements will melt with a fervent heat in both the earth, and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for the hastening and the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we look according to his promise for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Amen. Oh, that's what we're looking for. But here, this world is passing away. And the only thing that's going to last, look at it again, he who does the will of God abides forever. That is our victory, loved one. Okay? We have the assurance. Let me give you the scripture for that. It's 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. Let me read it to you. Whoever or whatever is born of God, that is the new birth, okay? Whoever is born of God overcomes the world. Can you believe that? That's all it takes. That is the only qualification for overcoming the world that we live in. Whosoever is born from above, amen? And that's us. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. And he says, our faith. That means where there is no faith, loved one, there is no victory, okay? Now listen carefully. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What a scripture. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Maybe you're listening live or on the radio right now. Maybe you just popped into this early service to check out Calvary. Check me out. Praise the Lord. Thank you. But maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you've never asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life. Now listen to me. Every person on earth is either going to live for what is passing away, or they're going to live for what will never pass away. Amen? Every person on earth. See, if a person is not saved, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Lord, or maybe you go to church all the time, but you're not living the Christian life. Now, listen to me. If you are not saved, you know what you have? Here it is. You ready? All you have is this world. That's it. And this world is going to pass away. And when it passes away, you will pass away with it, and it will take you to a place you do not want to go to. Yeah, that's what the Word of God says. Listen, everything that you think you love is passing away. Everything. If you don't know Jesus, listen now. Everything, I mean everything, is passing away. See, when you're young, you're deceived. You think you'll never pass away. You know, well, listen to me. You better start looking at yourself because you're passing away right now. And every day, you're changing. Did you know that? Just like little Willa, she started out, and now she's walking and starting to talk and all the, you know what I'm saying? But we're all going to grow old. We're all going to change. We're all passing away. Do you understand? All of us. Now, I want to read what I put down. I did this just a few minutes ago before I came out. I said, why is the greatest decision ever made, meaning to ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord, why is it so hard? Why is it so hard for natural man? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Well, because, well, you know, I don't need anybody. I know all those answers, but there's another reason, loved one. You know why? Because there's someone here. If you don't know Jesus, let me tell you something. If Jesus is not your Lord, okay, there's someone here besides the Holy Spirit. There's someone here besides the angels of God and the wicked one himself. You know, either that or his demons. They're here. Does that make sense? And listen, let me read it again, what I said. Why is the greatest decision, meaning asking Christ to be your Lord, ever made so hard? I mean, here it is. Live for the world. Live for Jesus. You know what happens when the word of God goes out? No matter who they are. The Bible says in Mark's gospel, it tells us that the sower, remember the sower, the bag of seed, the sower, sows the word of God. That's what I've been doing. I've been feeding. I'm sowing the word of God. And it says, and when they hear, if you don't know Christ, listen to me now. And when they hear what I just threw out here, the word of God about what's going to happen about this world passing away, it says the sower sows the word of God. And when they hear, if you don't know Jesus, and when they hear it, here's what happens. Satan comes immediately and he takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. It was right there. That's why people, they go, I don't know why I'm struggling inside. I'm struggling right this very minute. I'm struggling and want to say, yes, Jesus, be my Lord, but I'm struggling. Why? The word is in your heart. It's down. It's not there forever yet, but it's there. It's the Holy Spirit saying, man, you need to come to me. You need to be saved. I loved you. I died for you. I want you to be in heaven with me. But the devil says, let me rip the word of God out of that person's heart because I want him in bondage. I want her in bondage. I want them to live in sin. I want them to love the world. But you know what you can do? You can say, no, I felt it. Something happened to me. And I don't want this world. I want the world that's coming. I want Jesus to be my Savior. I want my sins forgiven. I want real life. I want real eternal life. I want to be saved with our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. No one looking around, every Christian praying fervently right now. That was for someone this morning. You have a decision to make. I love you and God loves you. You don't have to get out of your chair. But if you don't know Christ, please come to him now. Make him your Lord. You say, well, Bill, how do I do that? If you will just lift your hand high and put it right, God bless you, that's right, and put it right back down. Just lift it high. I see you, sir. God bless you. Anyone else, lift it high. God bless you. I see your hand, sir. Thank you. Anyone else, yes, that's me. He was beating my heart. I don't want the devil to rip his word out of my heart because that feeling was so incredible. Anyone else before I pray? Hand up and put it right back down. Father, I see absolutely no more hands, but you know the hands that were raised. You're praying, if you're online like now or the radio, if you say, Bill, my hand's up, then you pray this prayer with me. Church, help me. Those that lifted their hands up, pray this prayer right now. Say, Father, I want real life. I don't want to live in a world knowingly that it's going to pass away. I want to do your will. Because you promised I would abide forever. I want to be with you forever. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And I believe in my heart, Father, you raised him from the dead. You promised, Lord, if I would ask Jesus to be the Lord of my life, and believe it in my heart, you would save me. I believe. Save me now. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. And the church says, amen.
Pastor Bill's series will continue on our Monday broadcast, and we do hope you'll tune in once again. Amen? Thank you for listening to Love Never Fails this week. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you on Monday. So long for today. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.